Welcome back, folks. It is 4:35 in the Anchorage Bowl. It is a lovely day, pretty much, in our fair city. It is presently 56 degrees in the Anchorage Bowl, 57 up in the valley, and a light rain falling down there in Anchor Point, home of Kristen our Kenai Connection, where it is a balmy 54. All right, we've got Representative Les Gehr in the studio. Representative Grunberg is running a little late. But before we get into our interview with Representative Guerra, we've got a question or a comment about the fine neighborhood of Mountain View, which we were talking about earlier. Let's go to line one now, where we're joined by Caroline. Hey, Caroline, how you doing?
I'm doing great on a Friday afternoon. How about you folks?
We're feeling super.
Good. A couple of three things.
Okay.
Number one, your comment about the lack of support for our college-bound kids. There are so many areas where this is a problem. But I'll just pick it up at the college level. We have increased tuition 50% in the last 5 years, 10% at a whack. Maybe it was only 7% last year, but I mean, we're talking major, major money increases. And well, I don't think those scholarships that the university offers even begins to counter the cost of that. What I have been urging people to do is somebody try and find out what was the administrative cost in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and so forth. How much comes out of each dollar for the administration of the student as opposed to the teaching of the student? I realize some administrative costs are valid, but there should be some way of tracking what we used to do versus what it's costing us now to do.
Caroline, hang on a second. But before we get off on a tangent here, I'm going to introduce our guest. We've got Representative Les Gehr in here, and I'm going to put this question to him because he had a hand in a bill in the last legislative session, House Bill 340, which would have expanded financial aid for lower-income Alaskans. Representative Les Gehr is with us here on a Friday. Hey, Les, how you doing?
Good, Aaron. How are you doing?
It's good to see you. We've got Caroline on the line who's got a question about this. First of all, what happened to House Bill 340, and what is if you've seen this latest report about how Alaska is lagging in financial aid?
Yeah, and that's actually no surprise. The university put out a report last year, and when we saw it, we'd been pushing an expanded financial aid program at the university for a while. Surprise, in a Republican legislature, getting kids who can't afford to get into college is not a huge priority, but our bill basically would have provided financial aid to kids who needed it. And right now, Alaska has the worst financial aid program in the country. We have loans. You can get federal financial aid, but the state provides no grant aid except for a very small amount, which started about 2 years ago, but a very small amount. So I think we rank 50th in the country in the amount of needs-based financial aid we give out. It's more than a shame, so it needs to change.
Well, Carolyn makes a good point, and we've had officials from the university system in here, including Mark Hamilton, to talk about this, that tuition has gone up every year for, since I can remember. My wife just graduated from UAA, and the whole time she was in college, it went up every single year. I mean, you add that to the mix, and you've either got kids who, when they graduate, owe tens of thousands of dollars in student loans, or you've got, even worse than that, kids who can't afford to go to college at all.
Sure. No, it's about $10,000 once you put in books, room, and board, that sort of stuff. And the university needs to get on the ball. We had legislation to fix it last year, but it was just the chair of the education committee decided to never give it a hearing. He didn't think that was a big...
Who was that?
That would be Mark Newman from the Valley. So it just wasn't one of his priorities. We'll change things, though.
Could I add something in here?
Sure, you bet.
Don't want to get into tirades by any means, but the question of expanded courses and increased salaries for professors, that wouldn't bother me nearly so much, but I don't think that's the condition that we're at this time. And of course, with the federal government cutting $200 million out of the Pell grants, that makes it that much worse. And when you give young people no options, then the military begins to look a little bit better. So I don't know which direction this is going in, if it's intentional or not. Don't want to walk down the conspiracy road here, but as long as our education is funded by property taxes, the well-off young people are going to have a much better opportunity of getting the education to get to college and have other options. And one thing I pointed out to somebody is that genius is sprinkled throughout the entire population. It doesn't just reside in the homes of the wealthy. And so we're losing a lot of our potential when we don't do things of that nature. And one other quick comment about your discussion on the email that you received.
Oh, right.
One person's protection is another person's control.
Yeah.
And I think a greater issue would be to clean up the environment where somebody feels they need to protect a person from.
Well, I understand the first part of that, but what do you mean clean up the environment?
I'm not saying Government Hill or any other place. What I'm saying is rather than worry about covering women from head to toe in the most severe cases and keeping them housebound unless they're tied to a male member of their family, far better to create a safe environment that they can walk in without having to have those protections.
Yeah, but when you're talking about in the context of that discussion, whether it's here in a neighborhood that's not so good, or in the Middle East, it doesn't seem like that's happening anywhere.
Well,
maybe in Sweden.
No, but
that
it needs
exists.
To happen because when our university students get punched going from campus housing over on University of Providence Drive, we need to concentrate on. What are we trying to protect people from?
Right.
Fixing those problems first.
I got you, Caroline. Good point. Good points all. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. All right. Now let's take the opportunity to introduce the man who just walked into the room, Representative Max Grunberg, with us today. Hey, Max, how you doing?
Fine, Aaron.
Good to
how
see you.
How are you doing? Les, thank you for inviting me.
You bet. It's thanks for taking time out of your schedule to join us today. We were just talking before Caroline called, Max, about the news. I don't know if you've heard this yet, but Governor Murkowski just got back from his duck hunting trip, or as we've been calling it around here, his lame duck hunting trip. And he's surprised, or at least acting surprised, that while he was gone, his staff announced that they were going to package up the natural gas pipeline contract to pass off to the next governor, and that there wouldn't be a third special session. He came back today, and he said that is not the case. He says that his negotiating team will finish negotiations with the big three, and that he is not ruling out the possibility of a third special session, maybe later this month or in October. I'm not sure. Did you get that word? And I'm curious to your guys' reaction.
No, I hadn't heard that.
You hadn't heard that. It's true. Les, had you heard that?
Yeah, I'd heard it, and certainly the news came out today. I think. Nothing this governor says surprises anybody, but he's going to be hard pressed to get people, I think, to support this if it's not a major change from the contract he negotiated. As long as he keeps wanting to give away money and give away the state in his gas contract, then I'm definitely a no.
The most shocking part to me is that his own people. I mean, there couldn't possibly be worse conditions for the legislature to go down and meet on this very, very important piece of legislation. You've got a corruption scandal going on, first of all. You've got a governor who's a principal player in this, who came in a distant third in a recent election in his own party. You've got the oil companies, British Petroleum in particular, who are feeling heat all over the place from the feds. They've got the FBI crawling all over Prudhoe Bay, and they've got their executives in Washington answering some tough questions from Congress. But his own party, John Harris, and the Republican caucus in the House got together and basically took a straw poll, had a meeting about it, and said, no way. What is this? Just arrogance? Does he really? Do you think really think he honestly thinks something's going
to
happen?
They polled all of us. I assume they talked to they talked to Les and they talked to me, and they polled all members of the majority
Did
and
they?
The minority. The reason was, according to Speaker Harris, what he told me was that the majority caucus was fractured sufficiently that they couldn't have gotten the simple majority unless they had votes from the minority, and which I don't think they got. And ironically, Aaron, the longer this goes, the more difficult it will be to get people interested in the subject, because it'll be closer to the election. And if it's after the election, he only has less than a month before he's out of office. And during that period of time, both caucuses will be organizing. The new gubernatorial designee will be transitioning. And I don't think that the oil companies are going to be putting their, particularly British Petroleum, won't be putting their attention onto this. They are being examined under oath and taking the Fifth Amendment in Washington, D.C.
I can't speak for them, but it would just seem to me that this just moved way down on their list of priorities, probably. We've got to take a short break here. Max Groomberg with us and Representative Les Guerra, 929-5160, the telephone number. Phone lines are open if you've got a question or comment for your legislators. We got two of them in here that, as far as we know, are not under investigation by the FBI. I'm Aaron Selbig. This is our show. We'll be right back after these messages. And welcome back, folks. You're tuned into the Aaron Selbig Show on KUDO 1080 AM. Just a reminder, on Monday's show, we are planning a special memorial show, remembrance show, I guess you can call it, marking the fifth anniversary of September 11th, 2001. Stay tuned, by the way, at the tail end of this show, we are going to get into the controversy, which has really heated up over that movie we were talking about the other day. ABC plans to run on Sunday and Monday, The Path to 9/11. President Bill Clinton himself came forward earlier today to condemn some of the scenes depicted in the movie that are, as he puts it, out-and-out lies. We'll tell you about that a little bit later on the show, and we will be on the air on Monday, September the 11th, to talk about remembrances of that day 5 years ago. Right now, however, we are joined in the studio by two Alaska legislators, Representatives Les Guerra and Max Groomberg. Our phone lines are open at 929-5160. Max, Les, before the last break, we were talking about the gas pipeline contract. I hesitate to even call it a contract. It's a proposal. And the fact that Frank Murkowski all of a sudden seems interested in pursuing it, even though the clock's ticking on the end of his administration. What about the possibility, and it's been a while since anybody brought this up, but I remember a while back there was some concern, I believe Johnny Ellis was talking about it, and so was Hollis French, that the governor, if he didn't get what he wanted, might strike out on his own. Now, at this stage in the game, as a lame duck, with a legislature which is just a hair away from becoming hostile to him, if it isn't already, do you think that's still a possibility?
Well, we were just talking about this in the interim. And Les, Representative Guerra, is pretty sure that he can't do it because it'll require some changes in the tax laws. Mm-hmm. I was concerned that he might, just on a constitutional basis, enter into a contract without legislative approval if we refuse to approve it. And going under the 10th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, the question would be whether such a contract could be set aside by a subsequent state action. I certainly hope he can't, and maybe Representative Guerra.
Les, is it even a legal possibility?
Probably not now. The danger was, I brought this up a few months ago because the governor at the same time wanted us to pass some changes to the law that he said were just technical changes. Those were the technical changes that were not technical changes that then would have let him sign the contract without our approval. And that's when I brought the issue up. I said, look, don't give him these changes because that's what he wants in order to sign this contract. And that's when I started grilling his folks about whether or not they'd commit not to sign it without our approval. Anyway, they never got the law changes. They probably can't sign the contract now as much as the governor would like to. So it's not a big worry. The big worry would be if the Republicans caved, went back for another special session, then gave him the law changes he's been wanting for the last couple months.
And then possibly in his last couple of months in office, he could strike out on his own.
Yeah, any moment we spend down in Juneau in special session is a dangerous moment that threatens to let this state cave to what the governor wants to do. So
that truly a doomsday scenario for all Alaskans. It is 4:53 in the Anchorage Bowl. We've got to take a short break here. Representatives Les Guerra and Max Groomberg are guests. Phone lines are open, folks, at 929-5160. When we come back, I want to talk about this corruption scandal going on and what the Republican leaders should do about it. All right, we'll be right back after these messages with more on KUDO 1080 AM. All right. right, just a couple of minutes until Air America News at the top of the hour. You're tuned into the Aaron Selbig Show, and we're joined in the studio this segment by Representatives Max Grunberg and Les Guerra. If you've got a question or comment for these guys, 929-5160, the telephone number. Now, Representative Grunberg, we haven't seen you in here in a while, and Les, it's been 2 or 3 weeks, I think, since the last time you were in here. In the meantime, last week, the biggest news story to hit Alaska in a decade at least, the FBI swarms in over a period of two days, serves search warrants on and raids the offices of six Alaska legislators, all of them Republicans, but one, Donnie Olson. Since then, not a whole lot of facts coming out. There's a lot of rumor and innuendo. We're certainly picking up a lot of things on our radar here, but the FBI, the feds, the IRS, pretty tight-lipped. We did find out a few juicy details, like the hats, the Corrupt Bastards Club hats that apparently somebody had made over there. But we haven't talked to you guys about this yet. When you first heard the news, what was your initial impression?
You don't name your club late at night in a bar, I think, is the first thing I thought about.
You can do that, but to turn around and actually have hats made.
Yeah, that's the sort of series of bad judgments. I walked into work that day, and this very muscular guy stood in my way, because I guess Ben Stevens' office is on my floor, and he said, "Who are you?" And I thought, well, this guy's a lobbyist. I was like, "Who are you?"
Yeah.
And he said, "Well, I'm doing important business in Senator Stevens' office." I was like, "Oh, lobbyist." And I walked by him. I was sort of miffed by the guy.
You probably assumed he worked for VCO.
I assumed he worked for somebody that wasn't the FBI. But in retrospect, he was pretty muscular and had a shaved head. Actually, was a friendly enough looking guy. But I was sort of miffed until I realized he was an FBI guy.
Yeah, whoops.
Happy he wasn't in my office. So.
You know, it's... from my point of view as a lawyer, when the FBI or the police investigate something, I kind of reserve judgment to see what's forthcoming
right. On
that. I have been concerned about the growing centralization of political power on the part of people who own VCO. I think that when they have a large part of the newspaper devoted to their own political agenda, and that's all, and they have a network where they can give virtually unlimited funding, and they have a governor and a House and a Senate of their own political party who are more or less receive favors from them, that's a serious situation.
We're going to talk more about this, and I want to hear about some of this. We're hearing all kinds of things, and a pretty good article in the paper the other day recounting some of the past trouble that VCO has been in, some of the influence that they've peddled, and some of the numbers, campaign contributions that some of these folks have got. Pretty astounding stuff. More on that coming up after Air America News. Friends, Alaskans, countrymen, and women, lend us your ears. It's time for hour two of the Aaron Selbig Show. 5:07 p.m. in the Anchorage Bowl. It is presently 56 degrees and cloudy, partially, mostly, sort of cloudy in our fair city. We're joined this segment by Representatives Les Guerra and Max Grunberg, two Alaska legislators that, as far as we know, are not being investigated by the FBI. 929-5160, our telephone number, if you've got a question or comment for your Alaska state legislators. All right, before the break, fellas, we were talking about the VCO corruption scandal, your first impressions of it. It's been a week now, and still not a whole lot of word other than rumor and innuendo. And Max, you made a good point as an attorney that, of course, people, no matter what, are innocent until proven guilty. There haven't been any charges. The feds really aren't saying anything at this point about the investigation. What we do know is that it's centering around VCO, the Alaskan Oil Services Company that has been heavily involved in Alaska politics for years and years. That's not really a secret. All of the figures are there on the APOC reports for everybody and a lot of folks, Democrats and Republicans, but definitely the scale tilted heavily towards Republicans receiving Veeco money in their campaigns. However, the stories that people are telling, and this came to a head during the PPT tax debates in the last legislature about influence peddling in Juneau on the floor by Veeco. Probably the most tantalizing story was one that we talked about when it happened, when votes were being taken. Bill Allen himself, the chief executive of Veeco, was in the gallery on the House floor and was seen passing notes back and forth to Representative Tom Anderson, who was then carrying them basically as a messenger to other members of the House. People's cell phones were going off. There was all kinds of not-so-behind-the-scenes stuff going on right there when an important vote was being taken. Representative Ethan Berkowitz got up and gave a speech about it. He gave a pretty poignant speech and pretty spot-on. In the middle of all this going on, he stood up, he pointed it out, and how shameful it was, and how it was not in the spirit of the Alaska House for this to be going on. You guys were there. Can you corroborate what was going on there and what you thought of it at the time?
There were certainly, on a lot of these big votes, you see people on their cell phones during the breaks between votes, and I think it's pretty shameful. I remember a rumor that somebody was on the phone with Jerry Privo during a vote, and it's a pretty strong rumor. This time, I didn't see the notes. Some of the aides saw some of the notes from somebody sitting next to Bill Allen suggesting a certain oil tax rate be the one that somebody vote for on one of the amendments, which was pretty shameful. Certainly the cell phone conversation seemed to be going on during breaks. So Ethan was spot on. It was a great speech. I would tell you if the Democrats were in charge, we would have come out with an oil tax that we could be proud of. This is a tainted one.
Yeah, I sit fairly close to the front, Aaron, and I didn't see anything. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, I've got to say, I think most legislators have received a note from somebody on something. It may come from a staff with a telephone message or whatever. It's not unheard of at all. This sounds like it was just rampant. Mm-hmm. But I can't say I observed it because I didn't see it.
Here's something we do know happened. In the Finance Committee, that's the last committee a bill goes through before it reaches the floor where people are supposed to analyze a bill. The only people allowed to testify in the Finance Committee on the last version of the bill were the oil company officials. They were allowed to give their side of the story, and the Murkowski administration was allowed to give their side of the story, which happened to be the oil company side of the story. The only people allowed to testify by the House Finance Committee mm-hmm. were on the oil company side of the oil tax. We had asked them to allow the public to testify, to allow the legislature's consultants to testify, and the Finance Committee just sent the bill through without letting that happen. So I think that's really all you need. The system was really skewed in favor of those on the oil company and Murkowski administration side. There was no real fair analysis of this stuff. There's $5 billion of oil company givebacks in this bill that received very scant attention during the legislative session in the committees. We brought them up. We tried to take them out on the House floor, giveaways to Exxon, giveaways to BP. BP will be rewarded in terms of tax breaks in the form of a state subsidy for the costs they have to pay to repair the pipes they should have been maintaining over the past 10 years. That was in this oil tax bill. It was shameful.
There's a line between that, however, and I understand that the system has been gamed regarding the House and Senate rules, or at least it appears that way. There's a line between that and direct influence peddling, and perhaps even we're hearing rumors of offers of money in exchange for votes. Now, I want to make it perfectly clear that that's just rumors at this point. I don't really get into that. But, you know, when you've got Bill Allen there passing notes to Representative Anderson, who's passing notes back and forth to other legislators, it seems, at least to this taxpayer, that's blurring the line, that's definitely crossed the line. Veeco and Bill Allen have gotten in trouble for influence peddling before on a private prison deal. After this, Bill Allen sent an email out to some members of the House apologizing for his actions on that day, saying that he got, quote, a little over exuberant. Just a couple of days ago, VECO itself released its first official statement on the after the FBI raids. They sent out a press release in which they said, VECO regrets if those efforts could be construed as wrong, especially in view of the fact that the right to participate actively in the political process is something treasured by all Americans. That line made me laugh, and I have a feeling it made a lot of Alaskans laugh, because participating actively in the political process, yes, that sounds good on the surface, but when you're talking about giving millions of dollars over a period of time to political campaigns, and then exhibiting actions like this, where you're on the floor of the House passing notes to those same people that you've given all of this money to,
yep.
You know, whether it's there or not, where there was a check signed in exchange for a vote, you know, being caught red-handed, something like that, remains to be seen. But it certainly seems inappropriate, to say the least. Have you guys seen stuff like this? I know that I think it was Eric Croft, or no, I'm sorry, it was Andrew Halcrow had a story about that when he first started in the legislature, about being strong-armed by Bill Allen. Has anything like that ever happened to you guys?
Bill Allen and I have never talked in my 12 years in the legislature. Maybe at one point I was introduced to him or something. But no, we've never had a communication. I think they don't really come around to me very much.
Yeah.
The important thing, I think, goes way beyond this. We are in a very unusual situation in our state. We have a very small legislature, a very large state, of small population. And it doesn't take many influences to really influence the outcome of an issue. And I think all Alaskans have to be very careful to judge things on the merits and not be swayed unduly, whether it's by fear or by promises or whatever.
Yeah, I'll tell you something about VECO. Look, I don't know what their intentions are. They toss a lot of money at the Republican Party, mostly to Republican candidates. And I'll tell you one thing. They've never showed up in a hearing to say, we need better schools, that I've seen. They've never shown up in a hearing to say, we need to do a better job treating our foster kids and making sure they have a chance in this world. They don't seem to show up on those issues.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to show up on the issues that make money for oil companies. So you figure out what they're trying to do. I don't like it.
Yeah, that seems in this case to be their only one-trick pony.
The idea, again, put forward that they are, you don't see the oil companies themselves so much directly donating to campaigns anymore. Actually, I think British Petroleum doesn't do it at all anymore. ConocoPhillips does a bit. But the idea has been put forward, and I'm not going to put this to you guys, I'm just going to throw it out there, that VECO is their mouthpiece, that VECO is their funnel through which the other oil companies rely on them to hold sway over Alaska legislators. Just throwing it out there. We got to take a break here. I understand, Representative Guerra, you got to go home and cook dinner for a Friday night dinner party. Yeah, you even brought your cookbook with you into the studio. You must have something big planned.
I've got burned food. That's usually what it turns out to be.
Grilled cheese sandwiches?
I've burned grilled cheese sandwiches before.
You know, before you get out of here, I have one more hard-hitting, burning question that's on everybody's mind right now. What is up with the Red Sox? I know you're a big Red Sox fan. They've completely folded.
The surprise, surprise, surprise! VECO trying to buy votes and the Red Sox fold. It's a shock. I don't know what's going on. The world is the same as it's always been, I think.
Do you think VECO bought off the Red Sox pitching staff in that series versus the Yankees?
They could use some of that VECO money. That would be a good use of the VECO money. Get us a pitcher.
All right, Representative Les Guerra, nice to see you as always. We're going to take a short break here. Representative Grunberg is going to stick around with us for a little while longer. 929-5160, the telephone number if you've got a question or comment for him. I'm your host, Aaron Selbig, and I promise we shall return. And welcome back, folks. 522 in the Anchorage Bowl. We are joined in the studio now by Representative Max Grunberg. 929-5160. Max is going to stick around with us through the bottom of the hour. So if you've got a question or comment for him, now is the time at 929 5160. There was a press release that was just released earlier today, Max, and a lot, and people are, I have to say, I spent a little time this week hanging out down there at the Democratic campaign quarters, and some folks have just worked themselves into a tizzy. There's a pretty strongly worded press release that was sent out by Jake Metcalf and the Alaska Democratic Party this morning, calling on legislative Republicans who are trying to dodge blame for the corruption that led to the FBI investigation to come forward and come clean with the public. Jake Metcalf asks, why aren't they holding hearings into why the legislative offices were raided by the FBI? It brings up the question of if this had gotten to the so bad to the point where the federal government felt that they had to get involved in an investigation, where is the legislature on this? Is the legislature as a whole turning a blind eye to influence peddling and corruption? Do you think this question is going too far, or is that legitimate, that maybe some hearings should be held, something on the part of the legislature to look into this further?
I happen to be a member of the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics. Mm-hmm. There is one Democrat and one Republican from each House, and I happen to be the House Democrat on this. And I think that we, as a Select Committee, I'm speaking as a member of that committee now, we generally act if somebody brings a complaint mm-hmm. that there has been an ethical violation, and it could be by a lobbyist, it could be by a member of the legislature, it could be by a staff member. And we are a reactive body, and we have a very small staff of one. Nothing like this has ever come before us. And my view would be that if there's an investigation that concludes and finds ethical violations, that would be the time for the Select Committee to act. We are not an independent fact-gathering group. Mm-hmm. We're more of a quasi-adjudicative group. And so that is the enforcement of the Legislative Ethics Act, this Select Committee. It's a 9-member committee, 5 lay people, 4 legislators.
I see. Is there ever a, do you think that maybe there that maybe the rules as far as that goes maybe ought to be changed, or so that you have the ability of the ethics committee, I mean, to take a more proactive role? We were talking about the episode and the PPT tax vote with Bill Allen passing notes back and forth to legislative members. If that's documented, there were several legislators that witnessed that happening. Ethan Berkowitz stood up and gave a little impromptu speech about it. When you see something like that happen, do you have the ability under the current rules to look into it? Or if you don't, do you think you should have that ability?
Well, number one, if somebody were to file an ethics complaint, the staff would make the initial determination whether that violated the letter of the Legislative Ethics Act. It would be improper for me, as somebody who'd be sitting and potentially adjudicatively on that, to comment on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that that's the way it would proceed if anybody were to say anything about that. And then if there's probable cause, then we have a hearing, and usually the hearing is initially confidential, but then there are provisions as the time goes along to open it up.
I see. We're going to take a short 1-minute break right here. When we come back, Max, I want to ask you about British Petroleum. Speaking of being in hot water, they are before Congress the last couple of days, absolutely getting grilled by a congressman. One of their executives just yesterday pled the Fifth Amendment when he took the stand. I want to get your thoughts on that after a short break on the Aaron Selbig Show.
Uh-oh.
And welcome back. We've got a couple of minutes left with our guest, Representative Max Groomberg. Max, on the last side of that break, we were talking about British Petroleum in big trouble on multiple fronts. Right now, they are facing an intense inquiry in Congress over the corroded pipelines in Prudhoe Bay. I want to ask you, what is the state's responsibility, if any, in the lack of maintenance on the pipes up there at Prudhoe Bay, and what needs to change to make sure that something like this doesn't happen again?
Well, there are laws that require them to maintain those pipes, and there are DEC personnel who are supposed to monitor that. We don't have enough people doing that. We should put more money into the enforcement. And by the way, if it's found that there was gross negligence or willful misconduct, reckless misconduct in failing to maintain it with knowledge that it was probably being corroded, that's criminal.
Mm-hmm.
And for corporations, they don't necessarily put them in jail, but they give them very hefty fines, and the officials who are responsible can go to jail.
Do you think that is a possibility? I mean, BP, it seems like they're almost coming out and pretty much admitting that, they hadn't pigged the lines in, 14 years, that the ways that they had of checking the lines for corrosion were definitely faulty. They didn't live up to their obligation. They didn't live up to what they said they were going to do. Sounds criminal to me.
Well, I think that there is a possibility. We definitely should investigate that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we should keep in mind that these are the people who want us to trust them with the gas line contract.
Very good point, and a good point to end on. Representative Max Gruenberg, good to see you again. Thanks for taking time out of your schedule to join us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me, and for our listeners, thank you for tuning in.
You bet. Have a good weekend, Max. All right, 929-5160, the telephone number. Write it down, folks, because when we come back, the heat intensifies over CBS's planned docudrama, not a documentary, a docudrama on 9/11 that's supposed to be airing Sunday and Monday, unless they pull it. Rumors flying around that they might just do that. The path to 9/11 coming up after a break on the Aaron Selvig Show.